king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the king of glory, son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for, the one to deliver us from captivity, the son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king.
Lord, that's just our prayer this morning, Father, that we get to worship a king that is like no other, Father. What you did in Scripture, Father, we get to read. We just ask that the word would come alive, Father, and that we would realize the preciousness, the love that you have for us, for the body here today, Lord, that we would be open to the Scriptures, Father, that we would receive, that we would live out what you want in our lives, Father. And as this video showed, Father, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, there's just so many things that we claim as your name, Father. But Lord, this morning we just say that you are King, King over all, Father. So I leave this message to you, Father, as a testimony and a love that you've given me, Father. And I just ask that you use these words to be a joy and a comfort for our hearts. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Again, it's a familiar story, and obviously a lot of you have grown up in the church and heard this story time and time again, but I think it's good just to discuss and ponder. And the hope is that you go home, too, with your children and discuss what's happening this week, and again, come back Friday. Come back Sunday as we get to celebrate. So we're going to turn to Luke 19, starting in verse 28. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethany and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it to here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those of you who went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus. Throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. As he rode along, they spread the cloaks on the road. And he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he drew near, and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on the day that the things were made for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. So let's go back and just look through the scripture and look through what he has spoken. What's really interesting when you think about this, the first thing is the donkey, right? So he tells the two to go and get the colt, which colt means a baby, you know, a younger donkey, and says, let's go ride that donkey. In a sense, it's something that implies purity or sacredness, right? It's something that hasn't been sat upon, hasn't been used before, which obviously for the Lord, he deserves that, right? But look further than that. If anybody's broken a horse before, you don't just hop on that thing. There's a lot of training and a lot of things that have to happen before you can just get on and ride, right? So this donkey, if it's never been ridden before, you get put upon it, you put the cloaks over it, and then Jesus says, I'm going to take that into town. That's not something that normally you would do, right? And the amazing God that we serve, usually, you know, the mighty warrior, if you're in a war, the front horses are big and just, you know, tall horses that are just powerful. And when you go into war, or you're a king, you're presented on top of something mighty. But Jesus said, no, give me a donkey. Just shows you how, again, humble he is, how much he loves his people, and was the start of the story that he was telling us. So as he starts to walk into town, they start to present themselves, and the crowds are yelling. What does the donkey do? Stays calm. Just shows you that the Lord had control over the donkey, right? He presented him. It's like you, your life and the storms that you're in. If you give him the control, he'll take it over and he'll make sure you're fine. So there you go. The first thing you see, it's a lowly donkey. You don't think nothing of it, but, you know, he used it to ride into town and to present himself to the people. And these people were on fire. It's almost like, you know, when you're here, Box Celebrate Days, we have our potluck and then we all run to the streets, get ready for the parade, right? All the kids are excited. They got their bags. Well, this is what it was. This was a parade, but there was no sirens. There was no candy being thrown, but it was loud because these people were screaming. They were excited, right? The Savior had come. Can you imagine that day if you got to go and present yourself and stand on the streets and put down, you know, these things that the Lord was coming forth into the city of Jerusalem? And it was, you know, loud. You probably needed, you know, the earplugs. You know, the kids are out there in the parade. Can you imagine that, kids? Not fun if there's no candy, right? Yeah, maybe a little bit. But it's amazing what he did. So he goes into town, and as you can see then, looking in verse 36, he rode along, he spread their cloaks on the road, and he was drawing near, already on his way down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice. So as he's getting closer, the cheers are getting louder, and the anticipation of what he was going to do. I mean, they're thinking they're getting delivered, right? That Israel's going to be free. This is what they want. And, okay, here it is. This is the time. This is what's been promised to us. Well, why wouldn't you think that? Because in 37, which we just looked at, as they were drawing near, remember back what the people, his disciples, and what the others are remembering. This is the same guy, the miracle worker, that did several things, right? Let's look at him. He healed the leprosy with a touch. He made the blind see with mud on the eyes. He made the deaf hear. He made the lame walk. He made the demands of unclean spirits, and they obeyed. He made storms be still. He walked on water. Minor things. He turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into a meal to feed thousands. So can you imagine? I would be pretty excited too and pretty psyched when this guy's coming along, right? He's the miracle worker. He can do whatever. If he wanted to walk into that city and drop any leader down, he could have done it, right? We know that from what he had committed to and what he had done previously. So these people were stoked and excited to see his mighty works and what he could be doing to them. So, what do they say? Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. let's stop. Because there's the start. Now we have these unruly Pharisees that are saying, hold on a second here. We can't have this. These people want what they want, but the Pharisees come back and say, no, hold on. You need to tell your people to be quiet. You need to tell them to knock it off. They can't be acting that way. And his easy answer is, hey, if I were telling them to be silent, it wouldn't matter. The stones would cry out. Oh, I'm sure those Pharisees were mad when that happened. Can you imagine? But these same people that were crying out for the Lord, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, these are the same people that later that week would rebuke him and cast him away, right? So, in one sense, they're praising him. In the next sense, I don't know him. I don't know him, right? It's so sad because in our lives, we can tend to do that too. A lot of times when we walk down the path of life, you know, we have our prayers and we ask, okay, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I feel that you're telling me that my walk should be, and let's go this path and let's do this. And sometimes he doesn't answer that. Because if we knew what he knew, we would accept what he's telling us because we know what path he wants for us. And so, you know, in the scripture that we see this, these people were looking for a God that was going to deliver them from all the strife, all these things that they had been through. And he was, but it was in a different way, in a different sense than they had thought. So if you can think of what you go through in your life, and what the king has, we can kind of get confused in what sometimes he's trying to tell us. And I think a lot of times we push back on him, we challenge him, and we don't accept the things that he wants to give us. But if we would, things would be just fine. Well, okay, physically or on this earth, maybe not. But if we would understand what he's trying to tell us, you know, for eternity looking, it would be so much better. I went to a funeral yesterday for a young man, 35 years old, sat in the Catholic church there, and just, in a sense, I wept because there's so many lost people. And I don't know where his heart was, but it was a tragic death. He died, he was electrocuted, and I don't know where he was. But you look across, and it's, you know, people you know that you've grown up with, friends, family, different people that, you know, they're blind. You know, they need this living hope. And yet we sit back and we take this in and, you know, we don't want to say too much. We kind of want to be quiet. I mean, these people were screaming out to the Lord and they didn't have the Spirit yet. What were they getting? They didn't have anything that was filling them, but yet they're screaming out. You know, in our worship this morning, were you screaming out? Because you have what they didn't have, but yet we get to be so reserved because the world says, hold on. Don't pick on us. Don't try to go against our will because we'll come and rip you apart. And that's what the world's done, right? But we got to stand our ground. We're mighty soldiers. We're mighty warriors. And what he did here, dying on the cross for us, is something that we need to be mighty about. We need to be screaming at the top of our lungs that he is a mighty Savior and he can change people's lives, and he will. It can be in your family. It can be somebody you don't even know. I mean, it could be, you know, walking down the street and something happens. And life is so short. I mean, you think of this tragic event up in the Mall of America. I'm sure a lot of you heard about 5-year-old boy on the third level, and some guy doesn't even know him, 24-year-old man, pushes him off. We don't know why. It's obviously evil. But that could be any of us, right? This little boy's minding his business. This mom and him are shopping, just living their life. And in an instant, their life changes. Now we can go back and say, God, why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that to the 5-year-old? Why would, you know, we don't know. But God's going to use it. And if anything else, it's being shared to pray for that family. Okay, well, let's pray about that, right? Let's pray for this family. But let's pray for the young man that did this, that has evil in his heart, that whatever he has, that he can be delivered from it. You know, a lot of people just want to shun him and push him away and say, you know, whatever. Why would he do this? Let's take his life. But as Christians, we can't do that. That's not what Jesus is demanding of us, right? But we don't understand. We're confused. And so were these people here. The disciples that were with him for how long, right? Got to see these miracles, got to see his ministry, but yet they had it so wrong. Then let's look in 41. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day that the things made for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side." So we know what's happening, right? So it's, you know, whatever, 40 years later and the fall happens. But these people don't understand at that time that he's trying to explain to them. I mean, Jesus knows. He's got everything figured out and he knows, and that's why he's weeping and trying to get people to understand what he's going through. And can you imagine that's your father today? When you're going through a situation and you don't come to him, he's still there and he's coming to you. But can you imagine the Father weeps for each one of us individually? That's pretty amazing. He overpowers us, or over, you know, kind of comes over us. It's funny, this week I was taking a shower with Aiden, and I was standing, you know, and he was in front of me, then I was behind him, and the water was coming down, and he was getting cold. So he's like, "Dad, let's switch spots," because he wanted to have the water on him. So we switched spots. Well, you know, the water's coming here, so no matter what, the water's hitting me. He's never getting it, right? And he was getting mad at me. "Dad, I'm cold." I said, "Well, I told you not to shower with me." And so he's like, "Come on." So then I pick him up, and then we got to share the warm water together. But in both cases, whether he was in front of me or he was behind me, he was being protected. And that's how the Father is. Sometimes you try to walk on your own in front of the Father, he's there still to protect you. If you go behind him, he's obviously going to protect you more because you're letting him, but you're continuing on. And those showers can be pouring down, those issues can be pouring down, but he's got you covered and you can go to him with those things, right? And that's what the Pharisees, you know, they were upset. Can you imagine? I mean, there's been a lot of preachers that have been cast out and in Europe and different places where when they started to preach and you had thousands of people coming, and they cast them out of cities and said, "No, you're not welcome here anymore," because they could see that there was a movement happening and this is so much greater, right? They saw a movement happening that if they don't get a hold of this guy and take care of this guy, something's gonna happen. They're gonna be overpowered. Yeah, it was gonna happen, and it did happen. And the people, the disciples and the people, thought it was gonna happen there and it was gonna be something physical that was going to happen, that they were going to be set free. Well, that's not what the story says, right? So it's kind of, what's interesting is, you know, God will exceed in the long run. Sometimes you're going through a moment that's hard to understand what you're going through, but in the long run, you can look back and see what he meant for it. And with us having the scripture, that's the blessing of it. We can look at this story and understand and see it from a higher level, where when these people are in the midst of it, it's impossible to understand and really hard for them to live out what they were trying to do. So, if you think of it, you know, the beginning of the story talks about him walking in and they think it's going to bring great joy, and it did for the people as they came in, but it also was a misunderstanding, because when the people started to realize, or didn't realize, but throughout the week and as you go home and ponder what the Lord is speaking for you and your family this week, just remember that these things are for his mercy, to show you his sovereignty of what he wants for each one of us. And you can say, "Oh, it's Easter every year and you have these things going on," whatever, but you can't ever let this get like dull. You know, this has to come alive, because this is the resurrection and the life that he's given you, that we need to be just so outpouring of praise for the God and for what he did for us, you know? And so, you know, it can be Easter every Sunday, really, right? We don't have to do it once a year. We don't have to do whatever. And you got to be careful, because you don't want to be legalistic. I get that, and we're not doing that. But there's stories in here that sometimes I think back of, you know, my Catholic days, and I appreciated living out these things, and you know, enacting these things and trying these things out, because I have a remembrance now of what that was. And I remember it pretty clearly today because of that. So again, sometimes the churches, you know, put, I want to keep away from certain things. There are different religions, whatever. But in the end, it really matters that you are instilling in yourselves and in your kids the life that Jesus lived. And if you can try to reenact anything that he went through for us to remember, it's just a testimony of his love. And I think we need to do that. We need to take our kids and do these different things, and we need to really, you know, just find ways to remember and make a special moment. You know, I'll never forget in eighth grade, we put our heads down on the desk, and one of our teachers read out the scripture, and there was kind of a soft music playing in the background. But it was almost like I was there. It was reading the scripture word by word by word with music, and it was kind of, you know, it got really loud in certain moments and really soft. It just really, it really connected, but I'll never forget that. It was like I was there with him shouting out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But as that story continues on, our human nature steps in, and we're not saying that anymore. And that's how we are as humans, right? You can't come to me and say that nobody else has sinned now that he died for us, that you don't have issues, that you're not dealing with things in your life that need to be released from. We all have it, right? But we also have an opportunity to look at the scripture and say, okay, I can be delivered from that, and I can move on from that. So it's remarkable that, you know, Jesus, again, tells us these things. And it's remarkable that he can deliver us from these things, and that he does deliver us from these things, because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of it. But that's what's great about it, because when you look at the scripture and you see all these things that he did, I mean, it was kind of like it was acts that they were saying you had to do with all these things that he was doing, right? When we look back at the healing the leper and making the blind see, making the deaf hear. I mean, a lot of people would say, well, yeah, if I do those things, then I can do what the Father wants me to do, and that's easy, because it's easy to, you know, take action. I can put my five things that I need to get done, boom, do them. Okay, Lord, there, I did what you asked me to. Well, no, that's not what he wants. Obviously, we need to live out what he asked us to do so we can be a testimony and a light in this world, but he doesn't give us a list and say, go fulfill it, and then come back to me, and then I'll give you another list. That's not what he wants. So, when you think about it, these guys are rejoicing one week, and then the next week they're betraying him, they're shaming him, they're spitting on him, and yet it was planned. Jesus went into that town knowing that that was all planned, right? He knew what was coming. He knew that he'd be betrayed. He knew that he would die and suffer on a cross and know that that was the end, but that was only the beginning. And people didn't realize that yet, but they had to, right? So it's so great to see the power that he has. And we sing songs about his mercy and his tenderness and his kindness and how he moved in people. But he really wants to help us. You know, he really wants us to know that he has a tender heart, that he wants to give us a tender heart, and that's through the Spirit. And so we should take on that same Spirit that he's given us and live out a life of tender love. And Tom's talked about it a lot recently. And when you're going through things, that we can just love on one another. And sometimes it's not even, I think it was Aaron talking about it, but sometimes you don't need to go and try to solve the issue for these people. Sometimes it's just coming alongside them, putting your arm around them, and not saying a word. Praying for them, whatever you need to do, right? But that's what the Lord gives us. He delivers us from our sins so we can walk along with people and say, hey, I've went through what you've went through. This is what I've done. This movie, The Unplanned, they're transforming people's lives. But it's because of people that have went through these things that can come back and say, hey, I've been through that. I've made that mistake. You know, the main gal in the show, she had two abortions herself. And she'll never forget it. When we sat at the Promise Banquet a few weeks back, that was the same thing they talked about. You know, she went through an abortion, and she, to this day, she never lives it down. She remembers it, and it's a tragedy, and she just wish she would have never done it. But the Lord can deliver you from that, right? The sin is gone. You've been delivered. Move on. And that's what he wants us to do. So he wants to help you in that. So take it. Sometimes it's hard to admit our faults, or sometimes it's hard to really go to him and say, okay, Lord, this is yours. This isn't mine to fight. But a lot of the times we have a hard time doing it, and it takes us so long to come to Him. If we would have just, you know, come at the beginning of the situation and cry out to Him, it'd be so much easier. But we're stubborn, we're human, and that's how it goes. So when you think of this, you don't know when He's going to come back, but at this time, we obviously know from the story that He was weeping over Jerusalem, for they did not know what was to come. But yet He fulfilled His promise. He cried out to the Lord. And as we get to look forward to the week ahead and see the death and destruction, but yet new life, remember where He's brought you from. Talk about it with your kids or your family members. Reach out to others in the church. I think, you know, again, we're such a society that likes to just be narrow-minded in a sense that we mind our own business and don't go out of your way. You know, there's a lot of youth in this church that want to hear from you. There's a lot of youth that, have you went out of your way to see how they're doing? Have you went out of your way to ask them what they're going through? You know, it doesn't matter if you're young or old. The young can do it, right? Noah this morning, I said, Noah, start singing. And then he was a little quiet, and then he got a little bit louder. Well, then a couple rows back, all of a sudden you hear these kids singing. Well, it invigorated him. All of a sudden he's screaming at the top of his lungs. It was great, right? But it was because you came together with the Szczynskis, because once they started singing, then you had power in your heart to, I'm going to do this. I said, Mason, come on. I want to hear you louder than him. He just smiled at me. Yeah, Dad. Yeah, Dad. But it's powerful, right? And that's what happens when you come together. It was because of two rows back that, again, Noah was in front. He didn't know. But all of a sudden, and I could hear it too, this loud voice coming out and just saying, praise the Lord. You know, they were just singing words up on the screen, and maybe they knew in their hearts what it meant, or maybe not. But there was power in those words. And that's what we need to have, right? Power in your bellies. Come on, people. Right? We got to be proud of that. Not prideful, but proud. So what I want to close with is just a song that we'll play on the video. The 7th and 8th graders sang the song Living Hope. And I just want you to be, I want you to stand, and then we'll play it on the screen. Whether you want to close your eyes or watch it, really it's more meant for the audio. But it's the 7th and 8th grade girls that sang this song. I just think it's really powerful to listen to the words. But I want you to be reminded of the story of Palm Sunday and what Jesus did. It was all the preparation. And then remember now as you go home what's to come in the coming week. And each day, start this scripture and read it all the way through, on what happens in the story that he does. Because now we'll fast forward and jump into next Friday and then into Sunday. But there's so much in scripture that happens from now until then that don't let that, you know, don't wait. Read it. Get into it. You know, don't skip anything because it's so powerful and it's awesome what the Lord has to give us. And so let's close in prayer and then let's play that video. And again, it's not to toot their horn or, you know, say, oh, they were so good at singing. But I just thought it's an opportunity for us to listen to people we know and to hear their voices. But I think there's a crying out to the Lord in these voices that I heard when I was there live with it, that it was powerful. It was really powerful what these girls did. And some of them stepped out for the first time. That was the first time they'd ever sung. And it was really great. But there's a reason why, because they have living hope. And we have living hope. So let's pray. Lord, we just praise you. And we give you the glory that you deserve, Father. I just know in my life that I'm guilty. And I think of this story that we just read, Father, and how many times I'm on your side, praising you, giving you all the glory, telling other people about you. And then when things don't go my way, I'm being quiet. I'm questioning you. I'm wondering what you're doing in my life, Father. And I ask for forgiveness of that, Father. Because no matter what you do, it's for the goodness of us. It's for the goodness of our hearts. It's for the goodness of your advancement of the kingdom on this earth, Father. And that's what we need to do, is to give you the glory that you deserve, Father. You're such a merciful God. You rode on this lowly donkey into a city, and people thought you were going to deliver them. And you did, Father. But it wasn't in the same path and in the same manner that they thought, Father. And so we have that same issue sometimes in our lives, Father. So I just ask for a deliverance from that. I ask that those who are questioning what you're doing right now, whether they're in this church right now or outside this church, Father, that you would just give a clear voice and a clear speaking to their hearts to know that it's for good and for the glory that you deserve, Father. Again, it's not always that we have to be on our knees praying. We can just be on our knees and not saying a word and just waiting for that still small voice to speak in to our lives that you are with us. So, Father, as the song is sung, as we listen to the words, as people, whether they watch it or close their eyes and stand and just ponder what you have in their lives, Father, I just ask for clarity. I ask for a speaking of your Spirit, a movement of your Spirit, as we ponder what Christ has done for us. And just this week, Lord, as we prepare up for Easter, Lord, that we would, as families, read Scripture, talk about Scripture, reenact Scripture. Whatever it is, Lord, I just ask that you would bring a blessing upon us, Father, as we get to worship you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.